Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as always, it is a privilege to be in studio as we answer your questions live, as well as answering Facebook questions. As always, the number to dial, just mention 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information, you can find it on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Yesterday, a great tragedy in England, beyond comprehension what happened there again, but this is the new normal, and it's going to continue to get worse as the days drag on, in part because of how Western leaders are reacting to these kinds of tragedies. You think of what Theresa May, the Prime Minister, said right after the tragic terrorist attack. She said she was vowing to defeat this ideology, but she doesn't understand the ideology. She has a false narrative with respect to the ideology, and goes so far as to render what happened yesterday a function of a warped and twisted mind. What's behind all of that? Well, I'm not going to get into a lecture on Islam right this minute, although I did do a Facebook live session on it at 4 o'clock this afternoon. But let me say, all of Islam is segmented into two parts, bifurcated, if you will. One part is the House of Islam, the other part is the House of War. If you're not part of the House of Islam, then inevitably you are part of the House of War. And lest someone think that that is hyperbole, all one need do is get out one of the legal books, the Sharia books. There are five schools that can be counted for prominent schools, but you look at a book like Reliance of the Traveler, a classic book on Islamic law, and you find that this very presupposition is not only communicated, but underscored. So we need to know what Islam means with respect to women. Inequality is enshrined as a core value in Islam. We need to know what Islam portends when it comes to war. And we need to know, most specifically, what it portends with respect to a Western civilization. Again, my heart goes out, as the hearts of many of you, most of you, probably all of you, go out to those who suffered the horrific tragedy in Great Britain. This is, unfortunately, just the tip of the iceberg. And I can say that because there's a systemic problem. That's migration without assimilation, which is the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. I want to say a couple of things about the broadcast of the Facebook Live session, which I just completed. We're planning on doing a Facebook Live regarding my new book, Muslim, the subtitle, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. We'll do that at some point in the next couple of weeks, but we have decided early this morning that it would be appropriate to address this issue as soon as possible, given the gravity of the topic and the immediate relevance to all of our lives and to the whole of our listening audience. If you missed out on the Facebook Live broadcast, you can check it out on a rebroadcast that's currently posted on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. And while you're there, make sure to like, rate, review the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. It is our goal to reach 100,000 Facebook followers by the end of June. We're not that far away. And with your help, we're getting closer and closer. We're edging right into that goal, and then we'll have to set another goal. But it's just another of the many ways for you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So remember, like, review, and share. I also recently recorded the teaser for a new podcast titled Hank Unplugged. We didn't know whether to call it Hank Unglued or Hank Unshackled, but this is sort of a softer kind of presentation, if you will. It's sort of away from the leaning forward didactic approach, more to the leaning back dialogue approach, if you will, out of the studio into the study. That's coming up in the very near future. I cannot wait to share with you more about this podcast in the days ahead, and then actually get into it. I'll be interviewing some of the top thinkers in the world, and just having great conversations, maybe even sometimes with my kids. I'll be keeping you abreast of what's going on with me from a healthcare perspective. Tomorrow I have some ports being put into my chest to receive the chemotherapy and to draw blood and so forth, and an echocardiogram. Hopefully, I'll be able to do the broadcast live tomorrow if I can shake off the effects of that treatment tomorrow morning. So I hope I'll be live in the studio, but if I'm not, we'll have a great show planned for you. I think I will be live. I think I'll be able to make it. A lot of you calling in from all around the world. I had some other things to say, but time is running out. Let me start with Jose, who is in Riverside, California, listening on the web. Hi, Jose.
Hi. Thank you for receiving my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, in the book of Genesis, where the Bible talks about Joseph sharing with his brothers his dream, I wanted to know what was your perspective on the mindset of Joseph, or why did he have to go over there and tell his brothers, knowing that they didn't like him or that they hated him? Like, why did he feel like he had to share with them the dream?
Well, I think this comes out of a systemic problem, and that problem comes from Israel himself. Israel, of course, had his name changed to Israel, and of course, I'm talking about the father of Joseph, Jacob, and Jacob did not love Joseph in the same way he loved the other brothers. He loved Joseph with a partiality. He loved him more than all the other sons that he had. And when you do that, that foments jealousy and hatred. And this is very, very different from Jesus, who loves us without partiality. He loves us with an everlasting love. He's drawn us by his loving kindness. So Joseph acted out of his favoritism. And what he did was arrogant, egotistical, and he paid an ultimate price for it. But there's a grand meta-narrative here, because just as the brothers ended up selling Joseph into slavery, so Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. So we see a parallel in the life of Jesus. Ultimately, Joseph came to rule over all of Egypt. And the reconciliation with his father and his brothers became complete. So we don't want to just focus on part of the story. We want to focus in on the grand meta-narrative. Let me slip in a question that came in on the Facebook live broadcast today. And let's see if I can read this. It's Faye, and she's asking, I found a verse in the Quran saying that the Jews believe Ezra is the son of God and Christians believe Jesus is the son of God. May Allah destroy them. Where did they get Ezra is the son of Allah? Well, actually, Faye, in the prologue to the question, is actually answering the questions. The Jews say, according to Quran 9:30, that Ezra is the son of Allah, and Christians say the Messiah is the son of Allah, And that is their statement from their mouths. They imitate the sayings of those who disbelieved before them. And as Faye said, quoting this part of that passage, may Allah destroy them, how they are deluded. Well, the one deluded is Muhammad, or, if you will, his alter ego, Allah. The Jews do not. They have never regarded Ezra as the Son of God in the same way that Christians hold that Jesus is the Son of God. And therefore, that particular verse, Quran 9, constitutes 30, I should say, in terms of the sermon. Constitutes another factual error in the Quran. And there's so many that absolutely demonstrate that the Quran cannot be trusted. Some translators and commentators go out of their way to try to explain this error by translating Ezra as a son of God, but the original languages do not allow this, in this case, the original Arabic language. So just as Allah gets the doctrine of the Trinity incorrect, so Allah gets the data on what the Jews believe in this regard incorrect as well. And the Quran, as I said on the broadcast, the Facebook Live broadcast, not only has factual errors like this, but also faulty ethics, and is, at its best, feigned eloquence. In other words, if you start to read it, you'll immediately recognize that the emperor has no clothes. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Ryan, he's listening in Alberta, Canada, on CHRB. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank.
Hello.
I just wanted to say we're praying for you, and just pray the Lord will heal you, and just praying for your ministry and that you'll be feeling better.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to ask you a question because I don't want to be in error. I've struggled a lot with people talking about like a lordship salvation and just repentance in regard to salvation. Because everybody's like, I know it's faith alone, but is repentance then considered a work? Or it seems confusing. I don't think so, but is it true repentance, like turning from our sin? Or I don't know how to ask it for sure without sort of confusing you. But
no, you're doing a great job in asking it. But let me give you some context before I actually get into repentance is in a denotative sense. I'm thinking about what James says when he says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can that kind of faith save him? So suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm, and by the way, be well fed, but has absolutely nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. And then James says, you believe that there is one God? Well, even good for you. The demons believe that, and they shudder. So they have a substandard idea of what faith is and what repentance is. Now, faith is not only trust, but it is acknowledgement of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus is God, and the demons recognize that and they tremble. So faith is knowledge, it is agreement, but ultimately it is not knowledge and agreement in and of itself, it is also trust. So it is faith being knowledge, agreement, and trust, meaning dependence on Jesus Christ alone. Now that leads me into answering your question about repentance. What repentance is a U-turn on the road of life. It is saying, I'm no longer going to do it my way, but I'm going to turn. I'm going to have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the will. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And in doing that, what you're saying is, I not only know about Jesus Christ and agree that He's Savior and Lord, but I trust in Jesus Christ. I commit the whole of my life to Him. I take up my cross and I now plan on daily following him as a participant in the kingdom.
Right. Yeah, I just sometimes I struggle when I fall with sin, and then I get really questioning myself, and do I really have any fruit in my life and stuff, and I have to really examine myself to see if I am in the faith sometimes, I feel.
What's critical, Ryan, for you, me, and for every Christian is to realize that our faith is communal. It's not individualistic. So we live out our faith within the context of the body of Christ. So we should never try to go it alone, because if we go it alone, when we fall, there's nobody to pick us up. Critical that you're part of a healthy, well-balanced church. Coming to station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Because much of CRI's mission consists of equipping Christians with what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith, we think his new book, Forensic Faith, is a must-read. Wallace's book is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes good sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence for their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI. or go online to equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense. And we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence of their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we're going to go right back to your questions in just a moment. A reminder that you can hear the Bible Instrument broadcast on the web. You can hear it on Sirius XM 131. And you can also get the Equip app. You can download that on our homepage, equip.org. So check out the equip.org app. If you don't have our Equip app, you can listen to the broadcast on your smartphone. You can also listen to archived broadcasts. You can read articles in the Christian Research Journal and much, much more. A brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal coming out, our award-winning magazine. You don't want to miss that. If you're not subscribing, check that out as well. On the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our wonderful resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Back to the phone callers. Next up is Ida listening in Alberta, Canada on CHRB. Hi, Ida.
Hi. I have a question.
Sure.
When the repentant sinner on the cross asked Jesus, Jesus replied, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Yes, 3 days later, when Mary greeted him outside the grave, he said, "Do not touch me, for I haven't been to my father yet." What was he really saying there?
Yeah, there's two entirely different scenarios going on here. On the one hand, you have the thief on the cross who is going to die, and you have Jesus Christ who is also going to die. When we talk about dying, we're not talking about ceasing to exist. And so Jesus is saying to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And remember Jesus saying to the Father, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." So the thief on the cross and Jesus Christ were absent body, but they were present with the Lord, as the Scripture communicates. They were in the presence of God. Now, Jesus resurrected from the dead. So the Lord Jesus Christ, who was Theanthropus, the God-man in the flesh, became Theanthropus, the God-man once again. And he is forever that. Now, Mary, remember, was communicating with Jesus during the time between his resurrection and his ascension. So Jesus now ascends to the right hand of the Father. All of these are anthropomorphisms, but it's a way of saying that Christ transcends time and space. Certainly not a way of saying that Jesus Christ was ascending in the sense of going up like a rocket ship. I mean, if he's traveling at the speed of light, he wouldn't be out of our little universe yet. The ascension in that sense is a transcending of time and space. Of course, the thing that all of us look forward to with great anticipation is the time that Jesus appears a second time. So a different scenario with the thief on the cross, because that's prior to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with Mary, which is between the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Mansoor in Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mansoor.
Hello, Brother Hank.
How are you?
Praise the Lord. May the Lord heal you. He's a healer. We love you. You have done so much. I listen to you, and I love you as my brother in Christ.
Well, thank you. That's a great encouragement to me.
I have called you before. I used to be Muslim, and I have accepted the Lord in the 25 years ago, and I am a light and a salt of the Lord through the Holy Spirit.
Oh, wonderful.
I have a question. When Jesus informed that he was going to leave, Peter said that he complained, and he said no. And then the Lord said that basically Satan, you know, stay behind me, or he said, Satan, do not, you know, he called him Satan. Did Jesus call him Satan, or did he say that you are acting upon from Satan?
What yeah, it's that? The latter, certainly, because remember, Satan had tempted Jesus Christ. And these temptations that were in the desert were very, very graphic. Jesus could have foregone the redemption of the world. He could have had voluntarily the cup pass from him. But as Theanthropus, the God-man, again, this is a great mystery, one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine, you have Jesus being tempted in a very real way, but he's saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, speaking from the perspective of his humanity. And now you have Peter essentially saying the same thing, so that Jesus would not do what he had come to do, and that is provide redemption for all of humankind. All those that respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and be a participant in the kingdom because of the mediatorial work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. So Satan was animating or working really through Peter at that point. And as I've said many times, Satan cannot throw you somewhere, he cannot hit you, but he does, as it were, sit on our shoulder and whisper into our ear. Now, the whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it most certainly can penetrate the ear of the mind. And for this reason, Satan is tempting Peter, and Jesus is calling it for what it is. Now, we don't have that same prerogative. When we're tempted, we don't know whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil. Now, the one thing we do know is that there is an antidote, and the antidote is to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, we can take our stand, and after everything, we can stand. Stand firm, as Paul is communicating in that beautiful passage. I call it the covering, God's plan to protect you from evil, with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and so forth. So we should know how to stand when we are tempted. It is not our prerogative, however, to know exactly where the temptation is coming from. Sometimes we can figure it out, and other times we cannot. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tom. He's listening in Cleveland, Ohio, on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
I've enjoyed your show for a long time. I'm Catholic, and I know one of the things we have in common with the Orthodox is our veneration of Mary. And I was just wondering what role Mary now plays in your faith life.
Well, you know, Mary is, I think, in the ultimate sense, our example of being Christ-like, of being humble, of being filled with Christ, of experiencing what is known as theosis. And so she is the example to all Christians. We all want to be like Mary. And I think this is a great, great antidote to people who say that Christianity in some way or other is a patriarchal religion. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Our great example is Theotokos, and so we venerate Mary. Obviously, we never worship Mary. You'll recall in the very last book of the Bible, the very last chapter, the very last page, the angel is giving John a revelation, and then John bows down, and the angel immediately gasps, please don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets. Worship God. So worship is for God alone, but we most certainly can venerate Mary. And I think your question is a very appropriate question. I think oftentimes in my life, I've had an inadequate view of Mary. You know, we would say, and correctly so, Mary was born with the same broken gene that we were. That's true as far as it goes. But Mary became the ultimate example for us to follow. And we not only have this clearly communicated in Scripture, but we also have this clearly communicated from the biblical text to the apostles, to the church fathers, and therefore the regard for Mary is not something to be taken lightly.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sean. He's listening in Iowa, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to your program for a couple of years. I appreciate your ministry, and I'll be praying for you and your recovery.
Thank you so much.
My question is, I was listening to the program yesterday on the way home from work, and you were talking about the pre-tribulation view and how you basically dismissed it as not being legitimate, but you didn't give any Bible verses, at least I didn't hear, Bible verses you can shed light on what is the correct position.
Well, look, I mean, you talk about the pre-tribulational position, the first thing you have to say about it is it's relatively new. It's a 19th century idea. The fact that it's new doesn't mean it's not true, but it does mean that we should examine it very, very closely. There's no biblical verse, there's no collection of biblical verses that give us any sense whatsoever of a pre-tribulational rapture. In fact, let me say this, that one of the great and glorious passages on resurrection has actually been used inappropriately for a pre-tribulational rapture model. So I think what we need to do is look at those passages and read those passages in their intended context. And when we do, we find out that what's really going on there is we do not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope because Jesus died and rose again. So again, it's a great and glorious passage in context on resurrection, the hope of all believers. We're coming to station break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is a broadcast supported by listeners exactly like you. If you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Or you can touch one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, the letter C or I. We'll be right back in just a few moments with the quote of the day and more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
All Christians, but especially ones in college, must know what they believe and why they believe it if they have any hope of surviving with their faith intact. The reason, according to J. Warner Wallace, is obvious. College is almost like an atheistic ambush. Christians often enter the university arena totally unaware of the danger until it is too late. And that's why Wallace has written Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. If there is one gift I wish to give you, says J. Warner Wallace, it is the certainty that comes with loving and knowing the truth and developing a forensic faith. Wallace's latest book, Forensic Faith, will help Christians know what they believe, why they believe, and in whom they believe in order to stand in the battle for life and truth. Christianity is on trial, and the stakes are of eternal importance. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, save, obviously, Theanthropus, the God-man that I was talking about earlier, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The reason the quote of the day comes from Solomon is I am right now listening to the narrative on my Bible tapes in the car about the life and legacy of Solomon, which is quite astounding. He was so wise, and he produced so many proverbs of wisdom that people came, as it were, from the ends of the earth to hear his wisdom. The proverb of the day comes from Proverbs 21:30, and I love this proverb, I should say, the quote of the day. I love this proverb in which Solomon says, there's no wisdom, there's no counsel, there's no understanding against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. So we can only do so many things in the arm of flesh ultimately. The secret of life is trusting in the arm of God. It is ordering our lives around the divine. Again, the quote of the day, there's no wisdom, no counsel, no understanding against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Let's go back to the phone lines. You know what? I've been forgetting about the Facebook questions. I'm going to go to the Facebook questions in just a moment, but I'll take another live call. Daniel in Lexington, Kentucky, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Daniel.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
My question comes out of Luke 9, the last few verses, particularly the last one. And it's Christ said, no one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Could you give me your thoughts on that?
Yes. When we become believers, I was just using a moniker, and I've used it many times, a phrase that I hope I'm embedding in the minds of my listeners, and that is that we have to order our life around the divine. So when we take up the plow, so to speak, when we follow Jesus Christ, we're taking up the cross, and we're saying everything is insignificant compared to my relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, what the beauty of that entails is that when you are focused on Christ, when He is your all, everything else falls into place. There's nothing more grand and glorious than that. If you are focused on Christ as your all, everything, all else, if you will, falls into place.
Awesome. Thanks. We're praying for your health.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. Let me take a Facebook question. I've been kind of working my way through them. This is from Centeno in Oregon, and her question is, how are we going to fit here on earth after the resurrection if we have been on this universe for billions of years? Well, I don't think anybody believes we've been on this universe for billions of years. I don't know of any anthropologist, secular or Christian, that believes that. Some might get up as high as 100,000 years, but no one believes that we have been here for billions of years. The other thing I think that is very important is to recognize that when this universe, which Paul says in Romans 8, groans and travail, is liberated from its bondage to decay, what will happen at that point is we too will be resurrected, but some will be resurrected to eternal life and some to eternal conscious punishment, which is a way of talking about being separated from the goodness and the glory of God. The universe, however, is going to be our playground. It is not just this earth. And even if we could explore all of the universe, which we don't know the end of right now, we used to talk about the universe being a certain dimension, and then we found out that 100 billion stars and 100 billion galaxies, each having 100 billion stars, is an understatement. And now we're talking in trillions. But we don't know the vast sum and scope of the universe. But even if we could, in an eternity, a never-ending, everlasting existence, exhaust this universe, God could create new universes for us to explore. So we do not have to think that in our resurrected bodies we're going to be limited just to Earth. The universe itself will be our playground. I've written about this in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the hereafter and near-death experiences. I'll take another live call. Mark in Texas. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I bought an updated copy of Kingdom of the Cult. I've got the 1970 issue, and in the new one, which I bought for a friend of mine, so I have not seen it, they called me to say that Word of Faith Ministries are listed as somebody to watch out for. I've been trying to research that, but I'm literally in the sticks. And the best I can find out is that the Word of Faith people do not put enough emphasis on Jesus as Lord in salvation. Is that correct, or is there something more to this, please?
Well, I wrote a book about that. In fact, it was my first published book. 1993 is the year it was published, and it was called Christianity in Crisis. Yeah, there's an updated version of that, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. But in that book, what I communicate is that the systemic problem is that the very nature of faith is being prostituted. In fact, it is fair to say that the faith or the word of faith movement is really little more than New Thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. So I think there's a huge difference between faith biblically and faith as expressed by Word of Faith teachers. So they will say faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, through the force of faith one creates their own reality. And if you have enough faith, you can have a palace like the Taj Mahal, and you can have a Rolls Royce in your driveway, you never get sick. Sickness is an indication that you lack faith. And it indicates that you are expressing words of fear rather than words of faith. So if you get diagnosed with cancer, as I have, then the problem is a lack of faith. And if you can learn to muster up the force of faith through the power of words, then you can be healed. And there are all kinds of pretexts that are used for this. But that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God. In other words, faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. If your faith is in your own faith, that is misguided faith. It's bankrupt faith. But if your faith is in God, it is absolutely in every way secure. So I have placed my faith in God, and that is a firm faith. So when I pray for my own healing, as I do many times. In fact, sometimes I can almost feel myself touching the hem of Jesus and feel the healing virtue flow into my body. But when I pray for a healing, I always say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, because I see a snapshot in time. God sees the panoply of my life. So I don't have faith in my own faith. I have faith in my God. It may very well be, and it looks almost certain at this point, that I'm going to have to go through chemotherapy starting on Tuesday. But even in that journey, I will be encompassed in a blanket of peace. And why do I say that with certainty? Is because God gives us the grace we need when we go through trial and tribulation, when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. And he never gives us more than we can handle. And I told this story the other day, and I'd like to repeat it right now as I'm closing out the program. I might try to take another call if I can. But I told this story of being at church a few weeks ago when a lady came up to me and told me that she had been diagnosed with exactly the same thing that I have, mantle cell lymphoma. And the thing that struck me about the whole story, now she's been in remission for 3 years, but the thing that struck me about the story more than anything else, and a lot of things I said about that story that I won't repeat, but the thing that struck me was that she said at the end of her discussion with me, she said, you know, Hank, if I had to go through this again, I would gladly do it, because of how she learned to trust Christ as a result of the testimony this was to others, as a result of the faith in the Lord, the relationship with Christ that she garnered that she never truly had experienced before. She had a wonderful relationship with the Lord, but it was deepened immeasurably as a result of what she went through. So sometimes God takes us through these circumstances in order to give other people hope. It may even be so that I have a little more empathy for other people. I've been healthy all my life, never been sick, and all of a sudden I am now thrust in a situation that I not only pray for people as I have done with earnestness, but now with an understanding, because I'm now experiencing what they are experiencing, which is a big challenge on the one hand, but a challenge for which the grace of God is sufficient. I want to say a couple of things as we close out the broadcast today. I'm not going to take any more calls or any more Facebook Live questions. Let me just say this. I have a brand new book coming out, as some of you may know, October 10th. It's being published by HarperCollins, and it's titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And what I do is I present the information in a memorable format. And hopefully this book can be used by God's grace to awaken people to the reality not only of a liberal liberalism, but the reality of Islam. Now, I have said over the years that I've met many, many peace-loving Muslims. I'll never forget being in Iran at the University of Tehran and walking the streets of Tehran in the middle of the night because of the time change. I'll never forget the acts of kindness. So there are millions of peace-loving Muslims, but I think it's critical that we understand the essence of what Muslim represents. So Muslim is an acronym by which you can remember the broad contours of the book coming out October 10th. For those who pre-order a copy, all the proceeds go to the Christian Research Institute. Be happy to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, ticking down 24:23. So we'll be out of here in just a few seconds. But as I close the broadcast, I want to thank people who stand with me in this one-of-a-kind ministry in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference not only here, but making a difference around the world. We'll be right back here tomorrow, Lord willing, with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith: A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.